Welcome to Haunted History Chronicles, the podcast where we unravel the mysteries of the past, one ghostly tale at a time. I'm your host, Michelle, and I'm thrilled to be your guide on this eerie journey through the pages of history. Picture this, a realm where the supernatural intertwines with the annals of time, where the echoes of the past reverberate through haunted corridors and forgotten landscapes. That's the realm we invite you to explore with us. Each episode will unearth stories, long-buried secrets, dark folklore, tales of the macabre, and discuss parapsychology topics. From ancient legends to more recent enigmas, we're delving deep into locations and accounts all around the globe, with guests joining me along the way. But this podcast is also about building a community of curious minds like you. Join the podcast on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, to share your own ghostly encounters, theories, and historical curiosities. Feel free to share with friends and family. The links are conveniently placed in the description for easy access. So whether you're a history buff with a taste for the supernatural, or a paranormal enthusiast with a thirst for knowledge, Haunted History Chronicles is your passport to the other side. Get ready for a ride through the corridors of time, where history and the supernatural converge, because every ghost has a story, and every story has a history. And now, let's introduce today's podcast, or guest. Have you ever wondered what it would be like for your family home to be at the centre of strange and unexplainable phenomena? Thought about the impact that this may have on your day-to-day life? Wondered who you would turn to for help? In today's podcast, I will be chatting with someone for whom their family found themselves precisely in that position. My guest today will begin to share the first things the family began to notice and how this progressed over time. She will share the journey that they went on in trying to seek out support over the years. You'll be able to hear firsthand what these experiences can be like and the psychological and disruptive impact that it can have. I normally begin a podcast by introducing my guest and disclosing some of the key information about them. This podcast, however, will be different. Nowhere in the episode will any reference be made about locations or personal details of the family. The reason for that is twofold. Firstly, as this case continues to be documented and investigated by Tony Hayes, his team, and the Society for Psychical Research, the integrity of that investigation must be maintained. Secondly, at the heart of this case is a family experiencing these things, and their privacy deserves to be respected. So without further ado, let's hear from today's guest, as she takes us through her thoughts and experiences. Hi, thank you so much for joining me this evening.
Hi, Michelle, it was lovely to speak to you.
Do you want to just start by taking us back to the beginning when you first started to notice the paranormal activity in your house?
Yeah, it was May 2017. What had happened, well, we're not sure if this is what caused it, but my daughter and a few of her friends had done a seance in my living room. Me and the other children were asleep. At 3:15 in the morning, all my electrics in the house went off. My smoke alarms went off. Obviously, my eldest daughter came and woke us all up. We fixed it, but she didn't say anything what happened. And then 2 weeks to that day, I was at work, my eldest two were at work, and my partner was home with my twins. I was on the phone to him and I heard what can only be described as a really loud hissing. Obviously, then all of a sudden there were three massive bangs on the front door. And he was like, obviously, I've got to go and answer it. So he went, I'll ring you back. But I didn't hear from him. And I was trying to ring him and he wouldn't answer. And I was getting text messages saying, look, there's something really wrong with the house. There's something wrong with the house. Anyway, a little while would pass and he actually phoned me and begged me to leave work. I'd come home, and as I've come home, he's come running out the front door saying, look at this video, look at this video. when I watched it, what had happened is he was in the bedroom with the twins, and there was obviously, because he was hearing noises, and he said that was the safest place he felt in the house. Was the twins were asleep, but it was in the bedroom. He'd recorded the hallway, and there's a shadow that goes from my bedroom door straight across to the bathroom door, and the bathroom door slammed. Obviously, when he showed me this video, he couldn't believe it, and he was as pale as anything. Obviously, after that, things started off. Well, to be honest, we kind of forgot about that after a little while. Obviously, little things were going on, but that was the very first thing that happened.
I mean, 2017, that's a significant period of time for which you and your family have been living with this problem, with having this happening around you. Do you want to just describe how, from that initial experience, how that then continued to manifest in terms of, maybe did it start off subtly? Did it begin to escalate? What were your initial thoughts about what was happening, and then how did it kind of progress from there?
Yeah, I mean, after that night, we didn't really notice much at first. But then things, looking back now, obviously things were starting to happen slow. Like, we was getting random noises, things disappearing. Like, well, obviously one time my partner was fixing something in the kitchen. He'd put his drill on the side. He'd gone to get something, gone back to the kitchen, and the drill wasn't there. So me and him, we both searched the house top to bottom. After searching the house, going back down in the kitchen, and it's on the side again. Things were just disappearing and then appearing days later in random places. We started getting a lot of scratching on the walls and a lot of knocking. And the thing with the knocking is we'd always get the knocks in threes, which obviously I found quite strange at the time, but obviously not being able to pinpoint where they are. And at that time, because we'd never put two and two together, obviously, although there's no rational explanation for things disappearing, you're left standing there scratching your head thinking, well, has that really happened? And you kind of question yourself.
You start to wonder if you're going mad, don't you? Have you moved it? Did you actually put it there? Has someone moved it and they're playing tricks on you?
Yes.
And you can't help but kind of have all of those thoughts. To just try and rationally process and explain what's happened.
Yeah.
And of course, when it happens once and it happens twice, you know, you can kind of brush those things aside. But if it's something that's recurring several times, that's when you, I think, start to really take notice of it. And I guess that's what must have happened for you and the family.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, things started off slow. It weren't until they started getting drastic, we was like, we definitely know what's happening. I mean, at the beginning all of this, I was a skeptic. Obviously, I'd watch paranormal shows on TV, and like most of the people would be, oh, that's edited, that's fake. Never really believed in anything like that until, obviously, what's happened in my house.
So have you yourself had any specific experiences that have really unsettled you, or that really have stood out for you in terms of just the experience, the reaction that it's created for you personally?
Oh my God, I've had too many to mention, and I'm talking thousands, Michelle. Right at the beginning, one of the things that was kind of odd, that, well, it was quite scary, bearing in mind we didn't actually know what was going on at the time. We used to get a lot of coins thrown in excess of 480 to 500, I think, that I've actually given to the SPR that are in their archives. They would just come out of nowhere. I'd be washing up, I'd have coins thrown at me. You'd be walking in the hallway, you'd have a coin thrown at you. At one point, I literally went through the whole house, took all the change out the house, the kids' piddy banks, and yet these coins were still coming. And obviously that is like, what is going on? That obviously we couldn't work out what that was, because it doesn't make no sense. There was also a night where me and my twins were in bed in my bedroom, and we was having coins thrown in the corner of the room for 4 hours. We was just sitting there scratching our head, not working out what's going on, because at the time you see it, but I wasn't processing it. It was very strange. I think one of the worst things that I've experienced in this house is I was in bed with my two twins, and my daughter was in her bedroom with her partner. And at the time, we had them really heavy duty, thick crushed velvet beds with the big headboards and the big foot bases. All of a sudden, we've heard bang, bang, bang on what sounded like a wall in the hallway. My bed literally started shaking. Next thing I know, my daughter's running with her boyfriend. Her bed had been shaking. And obviously, that was it. We was out of them beds and downstairs quicker than anything. That's obviously something I won't forget. I've seen my fridge freezer. I had an American fridge freezer in my kitchen. I've seen that vibrate, shake, and then move. My kitchen table. There's just so many things, Michelle, that I would never have thought was possible until now.
And, you know, Tony Hayes, who is part of the investigation that's been, you know, supporting you and the family and being involved in the investigation for quite some time now with the house. I mean, he can attest to so much of this activity in terms of having been in there and investigated himself for several days at a time, but also in terms of what they've done in terms of trying to capture evidence with setting up, you know, cameras, etc. around the house. And I was just absolutely floored when he kind of reported to me in the podcast, you know, a few weeks ago about the number of apports that they've captured or things that they've captured over a period of time.
Yeah.
Going into the hundreds. I mean, that's just absolutely staggering in terms of paranormal activity or unexplained activity. And some of this being some, you know, things that they've captured as part of that collection of data and trying to research and analyse what's going on for you.
Yeah. I mean, Tony has been involved for sort of the last, I think, just over a year and a half now. And I think he's just got over 1,000 pieces of evidence on camera and reports. Obviously, this has been going on since 2017. So obviously, we're talking thousands of incidents, Michelle. I mean, I did have cameras up myself to begin with for the first 3.5 years and caught hundreds of videos. It went quiet for 11 months when one of my daughters fell pregnant. It just stopped. So obviously me thinking that was it, end of it, brilliant, got rid of the cameras. And then when my granddaughter was 6 weeks old, it just started up again. So I managed to get in contact with Tony, and I've now got cameras that are linked from my house directly to his team. So when incidents happen, I fill a form out and then they pull the video footage and can obviously get it from the video, the audio. But there has been too many incidents in his house that it's just so unexplained.
You know, when you start to imagine that, you can really begin to understand as an observer how disruptive that must be. But obviously, we can't put ourselves in your position to really fully appreciate that. Do you want to just try and explain just how disruptive this has been to your daily life and routines for you personally and for the family, obviously?
Well, all I can say is very, in the beginning, when things got really bad, and it did get really bad at one time, I mean, well, we as a family, we slept in my living room for 5 months because at the time we couldn't come upstairs. Every time we went upstairs, we'd have things thrown at us. Objects would move, banging, voices, you name it. So we actually slept for 5 months in my living room. People say to me now, why did you stay? Obviously, at the time, my mum lives quite 150 miles away. And at the time, I only had a two-seater car. And obviously, there were 7 of us living here. So it wasn't that easy for us to just get up and leave. Obviously, being a large family as well, it's not that easy. People aren't going to put you up because there were so many of us. So we did just literally put up with it. But we did sleep in the living room, like I said, for 5 months. I mean, my twins were absolutely terrified. When it very first started, they were quite young. So obviously, they weren't able to do their day-to-day stuff in the house because, to be honest with you, most of the time they spent glued to me. Even now, they're 12 now, even now on days when the house is playing up quite bad, the twins will come and sleep in my bed. They won't sleep in their own bedrooms. And obviously, it's been going on for almost 8 years. So it's just affected us. I mean, things like our electrics play up constantly. The internet will go on and off, so the kids can't go on their computers. You'll sit down to watch your favourite TV show or a film, and the TV will keep switching off, or the channel will go over, or the volume will go up to 100. So it gets to the point in the end where we just have to switch the TVs off, and we can't even do that. So yeah, it's been very, very disruptive, very.
And again, I think this is where people can maybe begin to understand what that would be like. But really, unless you've experienced something like this, it's very hard to step into someone else's shoes to really fully appreciate that. And I think trying to think of some of those examples is possibly the only way to really begin to understand what it would be like, in that sense of, you know, just if you imagine a really tough day at work where you get home, you've done dinner, you've cleaned up, you've done all the things that you need to do, and you just want to sit down and relax and put the TV on with a cup of tea. And then suddenly something's happening, which means you can't even get that moment of peace. That's when it must just become so frustrating.
It is frustrating. I mean, like you said, you get home and you just want to relax and you can't. And then your whole evening's dictated by what's going on in the house. I mean, I feel for my partner more than anything, because obviously I've got five children. Obviously, my eldest two have moved out. But even now, when the house plays up, I end up with the other three children in my bed. I mean, one's 17 and the twins are 12. So obviously you can imagine he then has to sleep on the sofa. So it's even disruptive now. And it's a matter of us having to work around what's going on in the house. I mean, we can't say from one day to the next, I mean, whether we're going to have a quiet day, whether the house is going to be bad. We just have to take it as it comes.
And I think it's that constantly being on guard, you know, that's almost psychologically on edge all of the time. And I think having looked at some of the evidence and the things that have been going on, and Tony's meticulous documentation of events and experiences, just documenting everything with his team, you know, you can really see how some things cycle through from one type of activity, and then it kind of stops doing that for a while, and then something new happens, and then it kind of returns to doing the same thing as it was doing before. And so you can't even get used to certain types of kind of things to expect. You can suddenly be presented with something different, like the TV problem with it turning over, etc. And then that, again, that just must be so difficult, because you must almost get into that kind of sense of, well, I'm familiar with this, I know this, we're used to this, and then it's something different.
Yeah, I mean, that has happened a lot. Obviously, at the beginning, I didn't even want to be in this house by myself. I would sit outside for hours until someone would come in, and then obviously I'd come in. Now, it's because it's been going on for so long. Obviously, you're right, we get certain things happen for quite a while. A couple of months ago, it was constantly rapping. Obviously, you just get used to it and you think, oh yeah, do you know what, it don't matter. And then boom, something else happens and it starts doing something else. It's almost like it's like living with a teenager that you can't see, because it's always out to try and annoy you and catch you off guard, which makes it that bit more worse, I think, because you don't know what to expect next. I mean, just when you start feeling comfortable, all of a sudden the energy in the house will change, and that's it. It's doing something else. But yeah, it is very, very, it's an uncomfortable feeling, put it that way.
If you've been enraptured by the chilling tales and enigmas unveiled throughout our podcast Spectral Journey, now's your chance to become an integral part of our ghostly congregation. You see, as we delve deeper into the mysteries of the past, we need your support now more than ever. But fear not, for there are a myriad of ways you can help keep the supernatural flames burning bright. Firstly, have you ever considered treating our podcast to a virtual coffee? Picture it, a humble offering to fuel our relentless pursuit of haunted histories. Just head over to ko-fi.com/hauntedhistorychronicles and join us for a caffeine-infused seance. But that's merely the beginning of our spectral soiree. For those intrepid souls yearning for deeper communion with the paranormal, consider joining our exclusive Patreon family. From March onwards, our Patreon page will be a haven of clandestine content, with weekly podcasts and daily long and short form offerings. Yes, you heard it right. Daily doses of the supernatural. A veritable paranormal advent calendar for your soul. So why hesitate? journey forth to patreon.com/hauntedhistorychronicles and become a patron today. But wait, the spirit of generosity lingers still. If you seek to flaunt your allegiance to the Haunted History Chronicles in more tangible ways, venture into our newly unearthed merchandise crypt. From mugs that whisper their secrets, to clothing that echoes with ghostly laughter, our shop is a sanctuary for the discerning paranormal aficionado. Just visit tpublic.com and traverse to the Haunted History Chronicles shop page to adorn yourself with our spectral regalia. Whether it's bestowing a virtual coffee, joining our spectral society on Patreon, or donning Haunted History Chronicles apparel, your support keeps the ethereal flames alight. Remember, every spectral contribution fuels our pursuit of unearthly truths, propelling us ever deeper into the realms of shadows and whispers. So heed the call, dear listeners. The links to our spectral sanctuaries await in the shadows of the podcast description notes, as well as our haunted haunts on social media. Dare to embrace the unknown, to journey deeper into the veiled corridors of history. For only together can we keep the ghostly embers glowing, illuminating the darkness with tales untold. Now, let us return to the mysteries that beckon from beyond the veil. What spectres await? What secrets lie dormant, waiting to be unearthed? Let us venture forth, for the journey into the unknown has only just begun.
So how is it that you managed to cope with that in terms of just experiencing that day to day and still trying to keep the family together and do all the things that a family has to do, like school and work and shopping and cooking and, you know, all the mundane things that everyone else enjoys? How do you kind of manage and cope with that as well as this happening at the same time?
I think, if I'm honest with you, Michelle, I think because it's been going on since 2017, we're almost like accustomed to it now. In the beginning, it was very hard. Obviously, the twins being little, things were happening. They weren't sleeping. They were sleeping in bed with me, or we were sleeping downstairs. They didn't understand what was going on. And it's not sort of kind of the conversation you want to sit there and have with young children. As they've got older, in a way, as random as it sounds, they've kind of grown up with it now. So it only bothers them when the house is playing up bad. I mean, if their TV switch over, their lights start flickering, they might hear a bang. My boy, he'll be wearing his headphones of a night in bed and he'll get tapping on his headphones. He knows now it's the house. So it doesn't bother him as much now as what it would back in the day, although it's still something that we have to put up with. So obviously, when the house does get bad, we do all come together as a family and we do stay together as a family. Like, I wouldn't even dream of trying to put my kids in their own rooms when my house is kicking off. We will all sleep together. So there is ways we've managed it. The thing is, I couldn't personally imagine moving out of this house and somebody else moving in here with a young family and having to go through what we've been through. I personally couldn't do it to anyone.
And it's your home as well. You shouldn't have to be chased out. That's, I think, the difficulty. For many people, they would just think, oh, just leave. Why don't they just leave? But it's still your home and you kind of make it your own and you have to almost come to terms with it and try and deal with it, because to give in is quite defeatist. And I think that's the attitude that I think you and the family have had. You haven't wanted to walk away. You've wanted to just try and enjoy things as best you can. And obviously in that process you just sought out help the best way that you could. And I think that's the really difficult part of this sometimes, is that if someone is experiencing this, and I'm sure there are other people who might have had experiences and just not known where to go to for help. And in terms of you and the family, I know it's been a journey that you've reached out for help, and sometimes that's been positive, but not always. Do you want to just walk us through some of the things that you've done along the way and that kind of the response that's had for you and the family in terms of support?
Yeah, I mean, at first, when we actually realised what was going on, I mean, there's nothing out there that says to you, if you're experiencing this in your home, please go here for further help. that it doesn't work like that. So in the beginning, obviously, I would go on paranormal Facebook groups and obviously put up what's happening, ask for help. I'd had a few teams come round from that. And what I found was, is they came round, they'd poke and prod, they'd get their evidence because they would have things happen. And then the minute they left, us as a family would pay for it because my house would be really bad. And once they've obviously got their evidence, we never really heard from anyone again. So, yeah, that obviously, as time went on and things were getting worse, I just kept putting my faith, no, the next team will be different, the next team will be different. And it never worked out. In the end, I did post on a Facebook group. And luckily for me, Keith Linder from America answered my post and he put me in touch with Tony and obviously the Paranormal Investigations UK, who, to be honest, the amount of time and effort that Tony and his team has put in this house, I could never possibly repay them. They have been so supportive. They have helped us. Tony absolutely documents everything. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this is probably the most documented case ever so far. He's that meticulous in what he does. He got in touch with the SPR, so we have them for support and obviously their input. I've got grandkids involved and also John Fraser, and they are absolutely amazing. They are so professional, they're so supportive. Without Tony and his team and obviously the input from the SPR, I don't know where we'd be now, because I wouldn't have no answers. I mean, we haven't got the answer that tells us why this happened or why it continues to happen, but with all the data, we do have answers to a lot of questions that we had, which you will never get from a so-called normal paranormal investigator, because like I said, they come in, they poke and they prod, they want to get their evidence, which is great, but then they don't help you. I mean, if anyone turned around and said to you, if you had a genuine case, obviously, like mine, I will come in, we'll have a look and we'll get rid of it. I don't think there's anybody out there that can actually get rid of anything like this. Because if there is, I am yet to find it. I've had the local priest, I went to the local church and asked him to come round and bless my house. And I got told in return, I'm not religious at all. Obviously, I've got children. And I got told, if I want my house blessed, I have to go to church every Sunday. Obviously, in my position at the time, I couldn't do that, so that didn't happen. But that was the response from the local church. And in the end, I even flew to Rome. I went to Rome to bring things back to see if it makes the house any better, and it never. So my answer to that question was, if there's anybody out there that has anything like this going on in their home and they really need help, contact Tony at Paranormal Investigations UK, the ASAT, or even the SPR.
I mean, they're organisations with such a kind of a plethora of resources and skill sets and people for whom they can deploy, that can really get to come across and really get involved with trying to not only investigate what's happening and document what's happening, but offer that support. And, you know, if we just think back to what we talked about not so long ago with Tony being there, the fact that he's been there for 17 months documenting, that's a significant amount of time. You know, most people can't commit that kind of time, but this is where if you get a really good group of people from organisations like this who can put the money behind it, who can get the people involved who can commit that time, actually they can offer that kind of support long term. They can offer that help long term. And like you said, that's where they can then start to be involved on a day-to-day basis, so that if you have an experience, they can offer explanations, they can try and look and see what's happening, see if it's something that they can verify. There's a whole host of things that they can do that can help calm the situation down, be that kind of voice to contact, that person to speak to. And that must be hugely reassuring, if nothing else.
It's amazing, Michelle. Like I said, I could never repay Tony and his team for everything they've done for us. I had gone from being left in the lurch, to me and my family not knowing what's going on, to having Tony there, who is absolutely amazing. I mean, he has got so much experience. Anything happens, he talks me through it. He spends hours upon hours on video footage from my home, looking for little things. He even finds things on the video footage we didn't even know there was there. He documents every day of his life. He works on my house. And I really can't thank him or his team enough for everything they've done, because without them, I honestly don't know where I'd be now. I mean, even the support, when things get bad, I know I can phone Tony or one of his team members and they will be there. There's been times when I've been on the phone to Tony when my house has been pretty bad. And obviously he spoke to me, he supported me, he's calmed me down. Like I said, that team is amazing. He really is.
And again, this is where I think the people who have a concern, if they're experiencing something, it's knowing that there are people like Tony and his team. There are organisations like ASAP, SBR, that are there that can offer really useful resources, guidance, support. And it's reaching out to them. It's knowing that you can reach out to them. And in your case, what that is then also providing is not only support for you, but they're able to really document everything that is happening inside your house. And what is really quite unusual is that for most people experiencing some kind of poltergeist type activity, that tends to be quite short-lived. But in this case, you've got something that's lasting for quite some time. And they're able to start to document that and keep really quite meticulous notes of everything. And like you said, I think that does mean that it's possibly one of the most well-documented cases that has been out there. And that's useful then for these organisations, these individuals who invest an awful lot of time researching this to look at data and you know, extrapolate things and try and experiment and see what's going on and try and approach this scientifically. It means that you're getting support, but at the same time, there's people really looking at this and trying to bring their expertise to the table, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, Tony and his team, between us, we've tried so many different experiments in his house, obviously all documented. It's been a mad journey, if I could say that. I mean, obviously, when things happen, Tony will ring me and he'll say, try this, try that. We do it. Everything's documented. And one of my hopes in this is, obviously, I can honestly hand my heart, it's horrible living with this type of thing in your house. But if I know that the documents from my house, from all the data, will help someone else, that would be brilliant, because I wouldn't wish anyone else to be in this situation and not know where to go for help or know where to get any answers. Because that was me at the beginning, and that is the worst feeling ever, feeling alone and not actually know what's going on. So if all this data for my house, if all these experiments for my house, if this can help someone in the future that might end up going through the same as what we're going through, I will be so happy.
And it must be reassuring to have people just being that support, but also at the same time almost affirming some of the things that have happened for you, because I don't think there's anything worse than trying to explain that to people who don't necessarily believe in it or who've never experienced anything. You know, it can be really hard to be believed, to be understood, and to feel like you're being heard. So the fact that you've got groups and individuals just there is this presence whereby they are listening to you and they're hearing you, and they're able to affirm if they've also captured something or experienced something. Again, that must be just very reassuring to have that kind of a presence when I imagine you went through quite a period of time not being believed and just not being listened to and not feeling validated or heard. When you're experiencing this, that must have been really hard.
It is, yeah. I mean, I tend to not go around telling everybody what happens in my house, just for the fact that I do understand before this happened to me, I was a great big skeptic, never thought anything like this could happen. So if you do tend to explain to people that are not quite believers, they look at you as if either you're crazy or you're lying. Obviously, people that come into my house and have experiences themselves, which 99% of them do, they obviously leave knowing what's going on here, which obviously makes it better for me, because then I'm like, oh, you've seen it for yourself. All I can say, people that are involved in my house or people that are close to me, if they don't believe what's going on, the thing I always turn around and say to them is, well, come and stay. Come and experience it for yourself, because you will. I mean, even my eldest daughter, who she moved out a few years ago, she will come over, but if no one's in the house, she won't stay in the house by herself. I've had people, my children's friends come over who they've come over, experienced things and won't even come back. And obviously they weren't believers before they came here. They clearly are now. But yeah, all I can say to people that I know is if you don't believe, come and stay. But like I said, I don't personally go around telling everyone what's going on in my house. One, because they do look at you as if you're crazy and lying. And two, obviously I've got children that are still at school and people can be really cruel. They can judge without actually knowing the facts or experiencing anything. So I don't want my children to go to school and be picked on because people are talking about my house, which is why at the moment, obviously, I want to keep everything quiet because my children do still go to school.
And I was just going to say, and that's why in this podcast, if people are listening, if they're wondering why we haven't used names or we haven't specifically identified the address, there's two reasons for that. One is to maintain the integrity of this ongoing investigation that Tony's team, that the SBR are currently still undertaking. We don't want to disrupt that in any way, shape or form. But also, we've got to be mindful of the fact that this is your home, this is your family, you're experiencing this. And you don't need people on the outside intruding on that in any way. You know, you're here on the podcast because you want to get across that sense of, I think, the importance of there are groups like Tony's, like the SBR, who are there who can offer some really invaluable support. But to also kind of highlight what is something that you're experiencing for those maybe that might be having something similar. And, you know, that shouldn't... You know, that wonderful thing that you're trying to do and to share with people shouldn't be undermined by any kind of an intrusion on your life and your family's life. And what, as I said, the SBR and Tony's team are doing in terms of their, you know, documentation and investigation. And so that's something that, as I said, people listening, they're not going to get from this podcast. This is not what that's about. This is purely about trying to hear your experience and your kind of pearls of what you think people should be doing, what you would advise to do if someone finds themselves in that same situation.
I mean like I said, without Tony's team and the SPR, I don't know where we'd be now. I just want to obviously get it out there that there is help out there. You just have to find the right help and be mindful of who you're allowing into your home and what they're doing. Obviously, I don't want it to affect our lives, and that's why obviously nothing has come out about this. But I do want people to know who are out there, if they're going through anything similar, there is help out there. And there are people that will help you. And like Tony himself will be dedicated to helping you find out what is going on. So just be mindful. Obviously, Tony's group, Paranormal Investigation UK, SPR, ASAP, they're all reputable organisations that know what they're doing.
And I completely echo that and very much stand by what you just said also. And so, you know, I'll make sure that those links for those organisations are in the podcast description notes so that, again, they're easily signposted for people who maybe are interested, who, if they haven't heard of them or if they're experiencing something, they've got, you know, somewhere that they can reach out to if something like this is happening for them. So do you want to just take us through the different members from the SBR who've been involved, some of whom you've mentioned, and obviously how they then work and sit alongside what Tony's doing, for example?
We have, from the SBR, we have Dr. Graham Kidd involved, who is an absolutely lovely gentleman. He obviously does a lot of stuff in the background with Tony. We also do quite a lot of Zoom calls with him, me, my other half, and he's actually had a Zoom call with one of my eldest daughters as well. He comes up with different strategies and things we can try and do to change the atmosphere in the house and what's going on. So obviously Dr. Graham Kidd's input has been quite helpful. We have John Fraser from the SBR who's involved with my house. He's actually been here alongside Graham Kidd as well, and they've actually visited the property. He does a lot of stuff in the background with Tony, obviously giving advice and things, and obviously with his experience that does come in really handy. We also have Kieran Fowle involved from the SBR, who I must say is an absolutely lovely gentleman. He's actually been to my house and stayed here twice now. He's very professional. If I ever have any questions to ask him while he's here, he sits there, takes the time out to explain stuff to me. He's just a very professional man. I mean, I couldn't ask for better individuals to be involved in my house at the moment, to be honest with you.
I think what you've got there is a really good group of people who are looking at this from various different aspects. And like we've kind of touched upon before, they really are coming at this from in terms of support, investigation, research, but very much hitting all of those notes so that you and your family aren't feeling as though you aren't getting the kind of assistance and support that you need, as well as what they're doing for, you know, their investigation. You know, they go very much hand in hand. And I think, you know, it's having the right group of people who can really, as I say, come at that from those different perspectives and expertise and experience to really see how they can help you with all of that. And you've got that brilliantly there, I think, with that group of team and with Tony, obviously, and his team as well.
Yeah, I mean, all of them together, they all offer something different. They've all got their own expertise, like you said. They all offer different input, which is good, because obviously in this sort of situation, we need to be able to see if someone can come up with a different idea to see if that's what's causing it, or a different strategy we can try to see if that stops causing it. And like I said, all together with Tony's team and the SPR, they've done absolutely amazing. They really have. And I can't fault anything they've done. And like I said, the support I get from them all is absolutely amazing. Dr. Graham Kidd goes out of his way to Zoom call us. I've got John Fraser's details. If I need to ask him anything, I can just email him. Kieran, the same. And then obviously I've got Tony. Bless him. I feel like I have him on call 24/7, because I know if I have a problem, I could just pick up the phone and Tony will talk to me straight away. So yeah, they've all been absolutely amazing. There's obviously other team members involved with Tony, like Yancy in Netherlands. She does a lot of the documentation for my house. You've got Amanda, who deals with video footage. They just all work so hard, and they've supported us so much through all of this.
And I think as well, with having the connections that the SBR and ASAP both have, you know, there's expertise that can be called on that may only help for a little while, but it's there, and it's having those resources and the availability of other people if needed to call upon. And again, I think that's the benefit of these types of organisations. They have people for whom that, you know, can be brought in and connected with, that again can just assist in some capacity, whether that's for short term or longer term, which again is so much more helpful when you've got the kind of case that you've got, and you're dealing with the type of phenomena that you're experiencing.
Yeah, I mean, when I first obviously got in touch with Tony, we then went to the SPR for support with the case. Obviously, Kieran Fowle was the first person involved. Like I said, he's been to my house twice now. Dr. Graham Keith was brought in because of the certain phenomena that was happening in here, because some of it was his expertise. And then obviously John Fraser was brought in as well. And like you said, there is other people at the SPR with different sort of aspects to anything that they can bring in to support if that's what's happening in your home. So the SPR are very good with a lot of things to do with the paranormal. They all know what they're doing in different areas, and when it all comes together, it does make a difference, because it does give us a big support group.
I can't thank you enough for sharing your experiences and your insights into what you've been experiencing. And maybe we can, you know, touch base again in the future in terms of how things are progressing, because this is still an ongoing investigation. So it'll be interesting to maybe catch up with you later to see if things are still the same or if things are settling down. It will be lovely to chat to you again, I think, again, because it's something that might provide some kind of support and help and guidance for people who might be experiencing something similar.
Yeah, I'd absolutely love to, Michelle. That would be good. Like I said, the whole point of this is to get the message out there. Things like these do happen. If they're happening to you, you're not alone. And there is places you can go for help and support.
Yeah, as opposed to, you know, thinking there is something like calling up a Ghostbusters, like the, you know, movie. That's not reality.
No.
But there are really good organisations, like you've mentioned, that are there at the end of a phone call if you need them. And Tony's team, I think, you know, I can only echo what you said. The amount of documentation that he's done and the material that they gathered is just, I don't think people can understand just how much work they've put into this.
Tony puts absolute hours upon hours upon hours. I mean, we literally document everything. Obviously, I've got the cameras up. I document who comes in my house on a daily basis. That there's all sorts going on in the background. Like, everything is in detail. Our lives are literally detailed daily to obviously gather the data that Tony's got. And I can honestly say there is nothing that man has missed.
No, I can see that. Honestly, I can see that from the things that he shared with me. So
yes.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And I'm sure people listening will have appreciated hearing your account as well. So thank you so much for your time. And I'll say goodbye to everybody listening.